I think we'll make a start now. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the preliminary meeting preceding the examination of the Breckford Forest Connection project. My name is Martin Broderick, and I'm an examining inspector, and I've been appointed as the examining inspector authority by the Secretary of State to examine this application. May also introduce those members of my case team, Mrs. Catherine King here to my right, who are present today, the case manager, and Heffin Jones at the back, who's assisting Mrs. King today in the work here today. We also have a Welsh language translator present just over here, and a Welsh language translation headsets available as well for anyone who needs them. Before getting down to business, I need to cover the procedures in case of emergency. Can everyone please turn off their mobile phones, please? Thank you very much. Fire exits are to the back of the hall here, out into the main street, and the assembly point is across the road. There will be no fire alarm test today, so if the fire alarm does go off, please exit carefully and quietly. Toilets are at the back of the hall as well. Thank you all. You're all here because you're either represent bodies that are statutory parties, you've sent in relevant representations and thus become an interested party, or you're the applicant, or you represent the local authority. There may also be people here today who are not covered by any of these descriptions. You're all very welcome. This meeting is a working meeting, and we're here to focus on the way in which I, as the examining authority, intend to examine this application. We'll be discussing purely the procedural aspects of the examination. We are not taking evidence at this meeting, and we are not discussing the merits of the proposal. The merits of the application will only be considered once the examination starts, which statutorily is a day after this meeting closes. You will see from the agenda that a break is scheduled, and I will review this depending on the progress you're making. In running this meeting, I intend to temper efficiency with fairness. I mean to allow you all to have your say if it is relevant, and to inform me as the examining authority of all I need to know at this stage. However, I will endeavour to make sure that your and my contributions are as to the point and focus as possible, so we make the best use of the time we have here today and allow everyone who wishes to speak the opportunity to do so. I hope all of you will support me in this endeavour, particularly not making repeating points that have been made by others have already been made. Notes are being taken on this meeting, and these will be made available in the Breckford Forest Connection section of the National Infrastructure pages on the Planning Portal website as soon as possible. There is also an audio recording being made of this hearing today, and this will be made available on the website as well, on the Planning Portal website. And with this in mind, there will be roving microphones if you wish to speak, and if you could wait for one of these to arrive at your point where you're sitting before you speak, and then you could state your name, whom you represent, if you're a representative, and speak clearly into the microphones. Before asking you to introduce yourselves, can I ask, are there any journalists present? Thank you. Can I also inquire whether anybody intends to record, tweet, or film these proceedings for their own use? Thank you. I'll first ask the representative of the applicant to introduce themselves, not forgetting to state your name, who you represent, and speak clearly into the microphone, please. So start with the applicant.
Morning, sir. What a laugh. My name is Neil Bromwich. I am a solicitor at Osborne Clark Solicitors. I'm representing the applicant Western Power Distribution. With me are two colleagues, John Webster and Greg McQuaid from Osborne Clark, but also with me are members of Western Power Distribution and AMEC consultants. So would it be helpful if they introduce themselves?
That would be very helpful.
Thank you. Would it be better if they do that?
Do the roving mic.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir. My name is Andrew Hubbold from Western Power Distribution. I'm here with two colleagues from Western Power, Bruce Pollard and Geraint Griffiths.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, sir. My name's David Kenyon. I'm with AMEC Foster Wheeler. I'm working with Western Power Distribution.
Thank you, David.
So we also have other members of the project team, but unless you feel it's particularly necessary.
It's not necessary at this point in time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now we move to representatives of the local authorities. Are there any local authorities represented here today? Thank you.
My name is Miss Morag Ellis. Christian name is spelled M-O-R-A-G. I'm a QC. I'm instructed by Mr. Steve Murphy, who is senior solicitor to the authority, and he sits on the end of that second row there. And with him also, and with me also, is Mr. Richard Jones, the Development Management Officer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, can I ask any representatives of governmental bodies, including community councils, who are present here today, to introduce themselves?
Morning, sir. Shamai Borada. My name is David Watkins. I represent Natural Resources Wales. And I have a colleague with me today, Mr. Hugh Williams.
Thank you very much. And I'll ask, is there any representatives of statutory undertakers present here today? No. And now any representatives of local and national amenity bodies, expert and representative bodies as well? Are there any members of local businesses present here today?
Good morning. My name is Yoka Kilkelly.
How do you spell that, please?
Yoka is Y-O-K-A. Yes. Kilkelly is K-I-L-K-E-L-L-Y.
Thank you very much.
The local business I have is we run a farm of 150 acres, and I have a ceramic studio with a bed and breakfast facility. Yes. And I'm a potter.
So you're mainly involved in tourism business and yes, agriculture, agritourism?
Yes. That's no, fine. It's not. It's agricultural and tourism.
That's
yes.
Fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Would you like a few of us to stand? My name is Karen Miles, and I also have a farming business with my husband here, but the majority of the people sitting in these two or three rows are agricultural businesses.
You're speaking on behalf, that'd be very helpful.
I'm not speaking on behalf, but I just thought that unless you want us all to go and file to the front and lodge, we can do that if you wish.
You use the microphone to introduce yourself.
Okay, Karen Miles and my husband Howard Miles, Gwilly Vale.
Gary and Linda Evans, Nandabongath.
Brian and Avril Davies, Llwynewydd. We're agricultural farmers as well.
Good morning. Ewan Jones from BJP. I'm a chartered surveyor, and I understand an OP with regard to my representation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Robert Jones. I'm representing a group known as Group Brian Gwen, who are local to the area in question.
Thank you very much.
I'm speaking on behalf of Rebecca and Alan Dufty, Bryn Farm. We're farmers as well.
Good.
Good morning. Rodri Howells, Pentramour Farms. I'm a dairy farmer.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the local community who have not introduced themselves already who would like to introduce themselves? Feel free to introduce yourself.
I'm John here. I'm a member of the local community. I live in Gwythgrig.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Rebecca Phillips here on behalf of Jonathan Edwards, MP, and Roger Glyn Thomas, the Assembly Member.
Very welcome. Thank you very much. Anyone else in the room?
Hello. Good morning. I'm Alan Thomas, representing Abergwiddy Community Council.
Okay. Can you translate that for me, please?
Good morning. I'm Pam Eagle, and I own land at Rhyd y Gaea.
Good morning, Clive Pugh, Llanegwad Community Council.
Anyone else who wishes to speak? Introduce themselves. Thank you very much, so everyone. May I remind the statutory bodies and local authorities that are here today, unless you've already sent in a relevant representation, you do need to request the status of interested party if you wish to become an interested party to keep up to date with and take part in the examination. To do this, you must submit a request in writing. Thank you all very much. I'll now move to item 2 on the agenda and talk about the principles of the examination. Sorry. Thank you. What the principles of the examination and how I, as the examining authority, propose to conduct the examination. I know a number of you already have experience in the process of examining applications for nationally significant infrastructure projects under the 2008 Planning Act. I also know a number of you are having your first experience of this system through your involvement in this application. It is worth reminding everyone here today of the legislation for this system. The 2008 Planning Act states at section 87, subsection 1, it is for the examining authority to decide how to examine the application. I believe that this system has 6 attributes. I will focus on these very briefly to describe the system and ways in which I, as the examining authority, intend to operate in this case. 6 attributes are independence and impartiality, rigour, a focus on evidence and justification, openness, which is very important, fairness, and finally, timeliness. First, independence and impartiality. Examining inspectors are employed by the Planning Inspectorate. The Planning Inspectorate is a joint agency for the Department of Communities and Local Government and the Welsh Government. For examination of nationally significant infrastructure projects, the examining authority produces an independent and impartial report with a recommendation to the relevant Secretary of State. In this case, in this project, the relevant Secretary of State is the Secretary of State for Energy and Climate Change. It is the Secretary of State that makes the final decision on this application. In making this decision, the Secretary of State is required by statute to decide an application in accordance with any relevant national policy statement, but only if it's lawful to do so as is in accord with our international obligations, and importantly, if the adverse effect of the proposed development would outweigh its benefits. That's the key criteria. Next, rigour. The system for dealing with nationally significant infrastructure projects under the 2008 Planning Act relies primarily on written evidence. This is gained through a rigorous process of interested parties providing written representations of the examining authority asking a wide range of focus questions, requiring adequate responses to these, and of interested parties then commenting on the responses of other parties. In addition, I will also ask for specific reports and other information, including local impact reports prepared by the local authorities, and also the applicant is required to produce matrices and requires us to produce a report on the implication for European sites in this application. This written evidence is supported where required by hearings. There will be 3 different types of hearings for this application. Number 1, an open floor hearing in which all interested parties have an opportunity to speak. Such a hearing will be held if any interested party requests this. However, because of the interest shown in this case and examination, I have decided to hold an open floor meeting and hearing, and I've included this within the examination timetable. Secondly, there are what are called issue-specific hearings. These may deal with some or all of the key issues that are relevant to the examination of the application. Importantly, these hearings may include one or more of the nature of the scheme itself and one focusing on the development consent order. I must make it clear that if I, as the examining authority, decide not to hold a hearing on a particular issue, this does not mean that this issue will not be fully considered by me in preparing my report and recommendations. There will also be compulsory acquisition hearings, which are very important in this application. Next, there will be a focus on evidence and justification. As the examining authority, I warn you that I will not accept unsubstantiated assertions from any party. I will demand the evidence that supports any evaluation or assessment where this is not clearly contained in your evidence to me. This is extremely important. However, I do need to point out that the 2008 Planning Act does allow the examining authority to disregard representations if I consider that the representations are vexatious or frivolous related to the merits of policy as set out in the national policy statements. Next, as a characteristic, is openness. As you will see when you look at the Breckford Forest Collection website on the planning portal of PINS, all the examination material related to the application is placed on the web. All the examination material is placed there. You will see on the website that advice the Planning Inspectorate has been given to the applicant and others since January 2013, including notes of meetings and telephone conversations. This commitment to openness will continue once the examination starts. Indeed, the proper running of the examination demands that all the questions that I put, all the evidence that you all provide, and all the responses to that evidence, and all other material is placed on the website for everyone to see. There's no hidden agendas here, there'll be no hidden materials, no side room meetings. Next, fairness. The procedure for examining applications for major infrastructure projects is designed to give all interested and affected parties an equal right to put forward their views and evidence and an equal access to all information related to the application. And it is, for example, it is an exception in this case that a cross-examination will be allowed to take place in any hearings. We are called examining inspectors because we adopt an inquisitorial approach in putting forward written questions and in asking the questions at hearings. I intend that this examination that I'm about to begin will be as constructive as possible and will not intimidate anyone taking part. Finally, timeliness. The legislation sets out an absolute time limit on my examination of this application, and I'm required to complete that examination by the end of a period of 6 months, beginning with the day after the start of the examination. I must stress that the effectiveness of this process depends on all of us meeting the deadlines that are set out in the timetable. And now I want to mention the issue of costs. In my Rule 6 letter on the 3rd of September, I drew attention to the revised guidance on costs that was issued by the DCLG in July 2013. This guidance sets out the details of two areas where costs may be awarded. Firstly, in summary, is where the party against whom the award is sought has acted unreasonably, and the unreasonable behaviour has caused the party applying for the award of costs to incur unnecessary or wasted expense during the examination. And secondly, there are separate provisions applied to the award of costs in relation to the application for compulsory acquisition. Are there any questions relating to the examining authority's examination of this application? Feel free to contribute here at this stage. Can you get a member of the microphone and state who you are, please?
Okay, my name is Yoka Kilkelly. You have stated a lot of information, and I consider myself quite a reasonable, intelligent person. Most of it I have not understood, because it's areas where I don't know anything about. You use abbreviations, which I don't know what they are, and I feel a bit confused.
I apologise if I've used abbreviations and have confused you in any way. I will endeavour not to do it in the future, and I will list out clearly every abbreviation that I have used at the end of this meeting. Thank you. Please state your name and who you're representing, please, if you are a representative.
Yes, good morning again. My name is Ewan Jones from BJP. I'm a chartered surveyor. I have a number of clients who have land interests affected by this scheme. In particular, you draw reference to the question of costs. At what stage do representations made by landowners or their professional advisors become questionable with regard to the issue of costs? Because obviously that's something that concerns landowners and their representatives. Does that give us full freedom to express our views with transparency, or are there particular points where you feel that question of costs become relevant, and at what stage do you refer back to those points if you feel that landowners or their representatives are making issues which question or are questioned with regard to the issue of costs running forward with regard to the scheme?
Can I say that firstly and foremostly, it's very important that you hide no information and keep nothing back in terms of your cases, etc. like that. That's very important. The question of costs will arise when a claim is made at any point during the examination or within the 6 period after the examination finishes. So that's when the question of costs can be claimed. That's the process.
Again, to me, it appears that there's always a threat of costs being awarded against landowners or their representatives making fair and reasonable requests with regard to the inquiry.
That's highly unlikely. If it's not frivolous, if it's not vexatious, there'll be no costs awarded against you.
In respect to frivolous, an example, please, would help, I think, landowners in particular.
I won't give you an example now, but it's well understood in case law what frivolous it means.
And vexatious?
Vexatious is well understood in case law, something that's very difficult to deal with.
Fine.
Morag Ellis, representing the local authority. So would it be your intention to issue a note or for Ms. King to issue a note after this meeting? Because it occurs to me that that's likely to be very helpful to enable people to digest things in a longer period of time.
So we will be issuing a note, and thank you very much, Morag, for saying that. Johanna, we will be doing that, and we'll clearly lay out any acronyms we have used in full for that point. The note will be issued as soon as possible after this meeting. Also, there is a recording of the meeting as well that you can actually listen to on the website as well. Anyone else got any comments on the application, how it's going to be progressed?
My name is Robert Jones, for Group Blaen Gwen. The question arises whether this meeting has been called prematurely. As I understand it, Western Power have not established ownership of all the land which they require. And as this is a compulsory purchase type inquiry, I just feel that in the interest of fairness to everybody concerned, that the ownership should have been established.
Thank you much. I think you're straying on the edges of the merits of the application there. I won't upbraid you this time and probably in time. I think it's usual in these situations that negotiations will be ongoing during the process of examination, but it's obviously in the applicant's best interests to progress them as quickly, as fairly, and as fairly as possible. So that's what we will commit to. There is no question of prematurity. It is normal practice for negotiations to continue during the examination. But is it behoven on the applicant to progress them to conclusion as soon as possible to insist the examining inspector, examining authority in their recommendation? Anyone else wishes to speak on the process of the examination? Right, thank you very much for that, for your contributions. I now turn to item 3 on the agenda, the initial assessment of principal issues. The examining authority's initial assessment of principal issues is set out in Annex C of the letter, which I sent to you all on the 3rd of September 2015. Does anyone have any comments on the principal issues which the examining authority has brought up there? Annex C of the 3rd of September 2015 letter. I would say that they are broad headings, and I will investigate them all in great detail during the course of the examination. Some of them will be the subject of issue-specific hearings. There will be DCO-specific hearings as well, and there will be compulsory acquisition hearings. and we'll hold as many hearings as necessary for me to get the evidence I need to make my recommendation to the Secretary of State.
Karen Miles. I believe that most of us will probably be very comfortable actually contributing today to economic and social impacts, environmental impact assessment, habitats, historic, archaeological environment, landscape and visibility, operational route optioneering, and transport and traffic. The disadvantage that many of us feel today are the first two items, which are compulsory acquisition and development consent order. And I think that we, at this point, are considering what legal representation we may need going forward, because those are very technical. Yeah. They do require due consideration by experts. And that was some of the guidance we were looking for from the process today. So far, we have tried to articulate our wishes to Western Power, but have not done so through a legal route. And I suppose from today, we would want to have some guidance as to the next steps, because that is when we do start incurring between us quite significant costs.
I can be assured, as myself as examining authority on this application, I will not see anyone disadvantaged through any lack of knowledge. I believe in equality of arms between the various protagonists involved in a process like that. So you can be assured you will not be disadvantaged.
I would ask then that you go through with great thoroughness and rigour as you've outlined in your almost code of conduct in those two particular aspects, because I think we're going to have to be taken through it with a great deal of understanding.
Yeah. What I would refer you to is the advice notes produced by the Planning Inspectorate on our website in the areas of DCO and compulsory acquisition, and also the guidance that's available as well. They're very well worth reading in terms of informing you what the process is. Thank you very much. Anyone else have any comments on the initial assessment of principal issues? Thank you. I now turn to the next item in the agenda, the draft timetable for the examination, which you'll find in Annex D of my 3rd of September letter. The draft timetable initially consists of deadlines for submission of statements of common ground, comments on relevant representations, all written representations, local impact reports in the local authority, and responses to the examining authorities first on the written questions, and notification related to hearings. Is there any comments on the deadlines in that timetable?
Thank you. Morag Ellis for the local authority. I have mentioned this to Ms. King informally outside, but it occurs to us that you might need more than one day for the site visit, especially given the short days at the beginning of December and the sometimes prevailing weather conditions in this part of the world.
I come from the west of Ireland, so I understand the weather conditions in this part of the world as well. We are considering having a two-day site visit, one south of the Towie and one north of the Towie, to actually get people a chance to show us what they want to show us and look at important issues. It's the same in the west of Ireland, short days and bad weather in December.
So Neil Bromwich from the applicant.
Can you speak up, please?
Sorry, Neil Bromwich from the applicant. Just to agree with Morag on timescales, would it be helpful today that we discuss the location of that site visit, or is that something you'd like us
I'll to draw up an initial itinerary, which I'll circulate for people to comment on. But basically, I would ask all interested parties and all parties here present today, if there's any particular areas we wish to us to look at, to write to the Planning Inspectorate informing us of that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to comment on this part of the deadlines for submission of various documents? I'm going to now move to asking the applicant to give us an update on progress reports and other interested parties on the progress to be made with statements of common ground, local impact reports, protective provisions with undertakers, and the draft Section 106 agreement with Carmarthenshire County Council. I will take each of these in turn, and I will look to the representative of the applicant to lead off in reporting on progress, but I will be also asking bodies that are relevant to each of these issues to add to the applicant's report if they wish to do so. Before going through these items, I would like to remind you again at the beginning of this meeting that I said we're here purely to discuss the procedural aspects of the examination. We're not taking evidence at this meeting, and we're not discussing the merits of the proposal. If any of you stray inadvertently or otherwise into the merits of the application, I will request very politely that you return to clear focus on procedural issues. I'll turn first to the statements of common ground between the applicant and Carmarthenshire County Council and Natural Resources Wales.
So perhaps it's easier if I sit up here we do that.
Thank you.
So turning to the statements of common ground, progress is being well made on the statements of common ground. Some of the statements of common ground, and if you'd like me to go through each one, I'm more than happy to do so, sir.
There's two of them, isn't there?
Statements of common ground, there's quite a few, actually.
That's good. Thank you very much. If you go through them all, it'll be very helpful.
Okay, right. So we have a number of statements of common ground. So we started the process of statement of common ground before your Rule 6 letter, so some of the topics don't exactly follow the topic headings that you've requested, but what we've tried to do is seek to retrofit those headings. But let me start with the ones between Carmarthenshire County Council and the applicant. The economic and social impacts references statement of common ground is with the council. The statement of common ground for environmental impact assessment and the adequacy of the assessment and the cumulative impact is with the council for consideration. The statement of common ground for the noise and vibration is with the council. The statement of common ground for habitats, ecology and nature conservation is also with the council. The statement of common ground for the historic and archaeological environment is with the council. And the statement of common ground with the landscaping and visibility is also with the council. So there's three which are in preparation and not with the council for comment. That is the development consent order, which perhaps I can come back to in a minute.
Yes.
The statement of common ground for route optioneering.
Yep.
And the statement of common ground for traffic and transport.
Thank you. Does Carmarthenshire have any comment to make at this stage regarding the progress?
No, thank you, sir.
Sorry, sir.
No, thank you, sir. Discussions are proceeding, and we are confident that between us we'll be able to meet your deadline.
That's great. That's very reassuring.
Sorry, sir. There's a number of others which are over the page. Habitats regulation assessment, policy legislation and planning history, and geology, hydrology and ground conditions are also with the council for comment, and land use and forestry is under preparation.
That's fine.
Okay. There are several other statements of common ground which we are seeking to agree with Natural Resources Wales. Would you like me to
Can you go through the NRW, please, as well?
Yes, of course. So the environmental impact assessment and adequacy of assessment and cumulative assessment is with Natural Resources Wales. The statement of common ground for climate change is with Natural Resources Wales for comment. Statement of common ground for flooding is with Natural Resources Wales. Statement of common ground for water quality and supply is with Natural Resources Wales. The statement of common ground for habitats, ecology and nature conservation is with Natural Resources Wales. And the statement of common ground for landscape and visibility is with Natural Resources Wales. And further, the statement of common ground for geology, hydrology and ground conditions is with Natural Resources Wales. There is one which is habitats regulation assessment, and that's in preparation, sir. So you raised in your Rule 6 letter that you would like statement of common ground with Natural Resources Wales for historic and archaeological environment and transport and traffic. So these are
probably not relevant in terms of the administration arrangements here in Wales.
That's right, sir. Would it be helpful to have a confirmatory email from Natural Resources Wales confirming that, or are you happy?
That would be very helpful to the examination itself.
We'll provide that, sir.
Yes. NRW, do you have any comments on the progress with statements of common ground?
No, sir.
State your name, please. And
name's David Watkins, Sir, Natural Resources Wales. We are progressing with the Statements of Common Ground and the latter comments of the WPD solicitor. We take on board and we will attempt to resolve as soon as possible, sir.
Yeah, that's fine. Statements of Common Ground are very important to the efficient running of the examination, not discussing things over which agreement has already been agreed on, but basically focus on the issues where there are still disagreement. They're very important documents to agree for the efficiency of the examination and its process. That's fine.
So there's one other statement of common ground, which is a historic and archaeological environment, which has been submitted to the DFID Archaeological Trust.
What's the progress with that?
That is a waiting comment from CADO.
Yeah, top one.
So I do have one other small point on statements of common ground, if I may. On the, you've asked for a statement of common ground on the DCO. We are progressing statements of common ground with the council, which deal with requirements and also highways issues separate statements of common ground. Is there anything specific in terms of DCO that you would like in addition to those two?
The examination has not yet begun, and we'll point that out later on.
That's fine. I'm happy with that. Thank you.
You will receive my first round of questions sometime in the near future.
Of course.
There'll be very detailed questions on the DCO there.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can see, remain there.
Can
I ask the representative of Carmarthen County Council about the progress and preparation of a local impact report?
Yes, thank you very
much. DCO is a development consent order. It's the order we recommend to the Secretary of State in the form that we think is appropriate, or if not the case, to actually grant the application. Sorry, Morrig.
No, thank you very much indeed, sir. Yes, work is underway on the local impact report, and all the various officers of the council are collaborating on that. It's not just planning officers, it covers several disciplines, as you'll be aware, sir. That report will be taken to planning committee on the 5th of November.
Will a decision be made at that meeting?
Yes, sir.
That's great. That's very helpful for the examination hearings in December.
Yeah, good. It's been timed to try and achieve that, sir. Yes. Thank you.
Can I ask the applicant about the progress with the preparation agreement to protect the provisions with statutory undertakers? Protective provisions are agreed with statutory undertakers to protect their apparatus and materials in the area as well.
Thank you, sir. Yes, good progress is being made on protective provisions. We have an agreed position with National Grid. We also have an agreed position with Welsh Water. We have an agreed position with Wales and West Utilities. That is subject to final comment, but the position on the actual protective provisions in DCO is agreed. So we understand that the remaining statutory undertakers are going to rely on the protective provisions as they are drafted in the development consent order and are not going to raise any further objections. That's our understanding of the position.
And have they written in that vein?
We have some email correspondence which we can provide to you, sir. If that's not satisfactory, we can obviously follow
up. I prefer a letterhead note paper.
We'll ask for that.
And now may I ask the applicant about the progress with the preparation of agreement of Section 106 with Carmarthen County Council. A Section 106 agreement is a planning agreement that actually accompanies the DCO to assist the process of the planning being implemented properly.
Thank you, sir. A draft Section 106 agreement has been submitted to the Council for comment, and we are awaiting some final comments from the Council on that agreement.
Does Carmarthen Chair have any comment on this? Sorry, does Carmarthen Chair have any comment?
Sorry, sir, I was just checking with Mr. Murphy. No comment, sir. Again, work is underway on that. Clearly, it needs to be looked at in some detail, but again, we have no reason to think that timing is going to be a difficulty.
That's right. It's very important for the examination process that we get agreement on these as quickly as possible, not to hold up any aspects of the examination. Can I thank you all for your very useful contributions in this matter? And please note, the first deadline is the 9th of November. Thank you. we've touched briefly on site visits and hearings. The hearings and accompanied site inspection, the dates of them are in Annex D of my letter of the 3rd of September, and also the dates for issue-specific hearings, and the dates for open floor hearings, and the dates for compulsory acquisition hearings. Are there any comments on these dates? We discussed moving the accompanied site visit to 2 days, which we will try and accommodate in our Rule 8 letter. The Rule 8 letter is the letter that goes out after this hearing, summarising the findings of this hearing and what we've agreed to do in this hearing.
Karen Miles, no comment on the dates. Just wanted to ask the documentation that we've heard that's been constructed in terms of the local impact report and the draft planning section 106. Yeah. Is there still opportunity for local landowners to influence the content of those of that documentation?
As people who are living in the area, you've got complete access to your local authority, and I think you should make your views known to them in as an efficient and as a best way you can possibly.
Thank you.
Either
very
through
much.
Yourselves or to your political representatives.
Yeah. So we can do that before the due date.
If you can do that, that'd be very helpful.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments? Now I'll move to the item 5 on the agenda. Any other matters? I've had no other matters notified to me from those already dealt with under item 1-4 on the agenda of this meeting. Has anyone got any other relevant matters they wish to raise at this meeting before I do so myself?
Yoga Kilkelly, Lan Glenada. Is it at all possible that these meetings can be held in the evening? Because I think half the room is empty because a lot of people work in the daytime and cannot get off from their bosses or have to spend their own money to get a day off.
I understand your concern there, and it's always a concern in the examination process of people possibly being disadvantaged by the timing tabling of the meetings. All open floor hearings, the ones I will hold, will be held in the evening, where all interested parties will be allowed to have their say. I will commit to that now and here and now. They will be held 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the evening to accommodate people who are in work and can't get time off of their employment. I've got some matters to raise in terms of any other business. Venues, we have a number of venues as options for the hearings in December and February next year. And I'd like to know the views of the audience here today on these venues. The three venues are the Botanical Gardens, which is some 8 miles away from here, this actual venue here itself, St. Peter's Hall, and there's also the Three Rivers Hotel in Ferryside. Does anyone have any strong opinions regarding which one of the venues that they would prefer? I open it up to the floor of the hall. Does the applicant have any opinions?
Thank you, sir. We thought that the Botanical Gardens might be a suitable location merely because it was available for the time periods that we were looking at.
Yeah.
That was my understanding, but also because it had suitable rooms available for all the parties. So we don't have any specific strong feeling on this. It really is what is suitable for people, and we appreciate that Botanical Gardens may not be suitable for those people who are unable to drive.
Would you be willing to lay on travel arrangements for the people who wish to go to the Botanical Gardens?
I'd need to discuss that with my client, sir, but I'm sure that
that would greatly assist the examination, and that would greatly assist the participation in the examination.
So
there's free car parking in the Botanical Gardens, I understand, as well. But I mean, I understand that public transport is not great in West Wales here. And I appreciate that very much. And I would ask the applicant to thoroughly consider the question if we do go for the Botanical Gardens to actually provide a coach to pick people up in Carmarthen and drive them to the venue. That would be very helpful if you could consider that.
We'll consider that, sir.
Thank you.
Could I also just add that it may be helpful for the open floor hearing, because it's in the evening, sir, that's be held somewhere other than Botanical Gardens, and there's been a suggestion that we have that at Penhill Village Hall, which is where...
Which Village Hall?
Penhill. So we haven't agreed that location yet, but it was suggested to be a suitable place for a...
Thank you very much. We'll consider that.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else in the audience who's got any strong views on the venues for the hearings?
Hi, I'm Jo Hoddenott. I'm a member of the local community. I think that most of the local landowners, and me included, would prefer to have the meetings more centrally, because travelling out to the botanical gardens, and even if there was transport arranged, people may not be able to be there for the whole time. So I think it would cause considerable inconvenience. And I think what people want to be able to do is have very close access to it and not be travelling for 30 or 40 minutes, however beautiful the botanical gardens is. Yeah.
Thank you.
And could I just wanted to make an additional point on the open floor hearings. I'm interested by the suggestion of Penhill Hall. That venue is very small, and judging by the previous consultation meetings that were held, there were quite large numbers of people who were quite vocal, and all would require their opportunity to speak. And I think limiting it to one evening may be overambitious, and I think a larger venue may be appropriate.
Yeah, you can be assured, as an examining authority here, I will not have anyone disadvantaged in this examination process to any means whatever like that. So we'll ensure that everyone has got the chance to speak. You get a chance to get to the venue to speak as well, and enough space for everyone to accommodate easily.
Richard Jones, Comanche County Council. We agree with in favour of a more central location of Carmarthen for hearings and open floor hearings.
Thank you, Richard. What I will do after this meeting like that, I will consider all representations here regarding venues, and I will make a decision on my Rule 8 letter, which will be issued in the very near future. The Rule 8 letter is the final timetable for the examination. Are there any other relevant items that anyone wishes to raise? Now move to the final item of the agenda, the closure of the preliminary meeting. I'd like to thank you all for contributing so fully and very usefully to this meeting, and I'm very much looking forward to examining this application and in this lovely part of the world. May I remind you that both notes and audio recording of the proceedings today will be made available as soon as possible on the Breckford Forest Connection section of the National Infrastructure pages of the Planning Portal website. May I also remind you that I'll be issuing a letter following this meeting setting out the final timetable and other procedural decisions that I've made as a result of this meeting and further consideration of the examination. I will also be issuing my first round of questions at or near the same date as that letter. I thank you all again for your contributions. And remember, 9th of November is the first deadline. And I now declare this preliminary meeting closed, and everyone's safe home. Thank you.